Want to learn how to be an entrepreneur?
You are dedicated and devoted to a life of developing new ideas and innovations, willing to take calculated career risks, achieving independent wealth and success. Then you are ready to experience the entrepreneur effect. We'll highlight opportunities for entrepreneurs in digital marketing through interesting, practical, and thought-provoking interviews and monologues. Increase your income and be your own boss by listening to The Entrepreneur Effect. Please welcome your host, a 25-year veteran in sales, management, and business development, Dush Ramachandran.
Hi, and welcome to Entrepreneur Effect. This is Dush Ramachandran, and my guest today is Phil Harvey, who is the founder and principal of the DKT Liberty Project, and also the author of the new book, Welfare for the Rich. This is going to be a really interesting conversation because, as we've seen, as we're coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, the government has thrown, about $2 trillion into stimulating the economy, starting with stimulus checks for everyone, and then the Paycheck Protection Program and all kinds of things. Primarily, all of these efforts primarily intended at getting people back to work and helping small businesses with the challenge of the shutdown that's been forced on them. But what's also very interesting is that large companies like the airlines and so on have been getting enormous amounts of money. And that's one of the things that Phil is specifically here to chat about. And I thought it would be a really interesting conversation. So welcome, Phil. It's a delight to have you.
Well, my pleasure. Pleasure to join you.
Wonderful. So, let's dive right in. Welfare for the rich, which seems kind of an oxymoron. The rich don't need welfare. But we as in the taxpayers, are indeed bailing out large companies and providing massive payments to the rich people. So give us sort of a quick thumbnail sketch of the book and your fundamental premise in the book.
Well, I'm happy to do that. And it is related to some of the government programs and changes that are taking place as part of the COVID-19 scenario right now. The book's purpose is to detail for our readers the extent to which taxpayer money, that is the taxes paid by you and by me and by millions of other middle-class tax-paying citizens, gets bundled up in various ways and transferred to wealthy individuals and wealthy corporations who do not deserve and should not receive subsidies, payments, special breaks, and so on from the government. One of our basic philosophies in the book is that while the government on both sides of the aisle in Congress, for example, wants to do something about inequality, the inequality of income and inequality of wealth among American citizens, which indeed is a serious problem, Our point is that if the government would simply stop making it worse, it would cost nothing, certainly nothing like the $2 to $3 trillion that's going into priming the pump to get started after COVID. But on the contrary, if the government stopped giving money to wealthy farmers who never farm, for example, and there are quite a few of those, or taking steps to make sugar cost twice as much in the United States as it does anywhere else in the world to benefit a handful of sugar barons in Florida, the government could be doing something about inequality without spending any money, but by saving a little money, which seems to us an idea that ought to appeal to people on both sides of the aisle.
Absolutely. Yeah, that does seem to make sense. So let's start to tease apart these issues. And I imagine they're not simple, and it's not just, you know, pork barrel spending. I bet there's a more nuanced and somewhat more complex reason why these things happen. So speaking specifically of subsidies to farmers, for example, do you think that's happening as compensation for their losses as a result of the tariffs, or is that for some completely different reason?
Well, there are several tranches in the past few years of welfare for farmers. Farming under the regular farm bill that is renewed every year by Congress allocates something like $97 billion, a hefty chunk of change, that is available to subsidize farmers in ordinary times. On top of that, a good many billions of dollars was provided under the Trump administration to compensate farmers' losses as a result of his insane tariffs on various goods from around the world, particularly China. And now there's another several hundred billion dollar proposition to provide additional subsidies and payments. These are direct payments. If they were going to small farmers who need the help, we would understand that. But a great deal, in fact, most of the money that goes to quote-unquote farmers is going to people who are either associated with very large farms, who are in partnerships, who are in corporations like Archer Daniels Midland, for example, and not going to small farmers who really need the help. That's why it is such a travesty. A woman named Penny Pritzker, for example, who is a billionaire, received $1.5 million in farming subsidy payments over a recent decade period. And she doesn't live on a farm. She doesn't work on a farm. These aren't people who have dirt under their fingernails. They just happen to own property that is being farmed. Or in the case of my favorite example of this is the Walt Disney Corporation, which gets all kinds of subsidies from the state of Florida and California and the cities where they're located. Managed to put a few cows on property that they own in mid-Florida, they could then claim that they were in the farming business and start collecting some of these subsidies. That's absurd and exactly the kind of thing that represents what you might call completely unjustified welfare for the wealthy. And we think it should stop.
Sure. How about industrial corporations? Many of our listeners are business owners, entrepreneurs who are in the, you know, small businesses, businesses ranging from, you know, $500,000 to $10 million, $15 million at the top end. And these are, you know, employing anywhere from one person, solo entrepreneurship, you know, solopreneur type businesses to people employing, you know, 50, 60, 100 people at the very most. So the perfect definition of small businesses. How are these policies affecting the core of our listeners? I mean, the small business people. Is this, by that I mean, is this a zero-sum game where the money that's going as welfare for the rich, is that being denied to support small business owners? And so this is sort of the question that we need to wrestle with, because for our listeners, the question always comes down to, yeah, that's interesting, but how does it affect me? So why don't we pick this up? We have a quick break to take. Please don't go away. We'll be right back. And let's pick up this conversation right after this. So stick around. We'll be back with our conversation with Phil Harvey.
Stay tuned for more of the Entrepreneur Effect when we return.
Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company. Distribution to almost every podcast portal. An embeddable player for your website. An ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts. And much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY podcast system within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.wmr.fm and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs sends you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
You are experiencing the Entrepreneur Effect, only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here's Dush Ramachandran.
Welcome back. This is Dush Ramachandran with Entrepreneur Effect. My guest today is Phil Harvey, who is the author of the new book, Welfare for the Rich, which is coming out August 5th. He's also a founder and principal at the DKT Liberty Project. So, Phil, before the break, we were talking about, the ways in which the government is subsidizing farmers and so on, which is certainly very interesting and concerning. But as far as industrial corporations go and as businesses go, is this a zero-sum game? Is the money that's going to farmers and propping up large businesses, is that in some way happening at the expense of small business owners?
To a considerable extent, it is. There's a very good current example with the PPP, the program designed by Congress, intended specifically to help small businesses stay in business and maintain Sure. their employees, as I'm sure your listeners are aware.
Absolutely.
During the COVID crisis and shortly thereafter. Indeed, some of that money has gotten to small businesses where it belongs, but a great deal of it has gone to some of the exceptional businesses. Hotels, for example, and restaurant chains were exempted from the 500 employee limit. And one restaurant chain, for example, with 10,000 employees got several million dollars under the PPP program. And that is a limited fund. That means that the millions of dollars that went to restaurants and hotel chains for whom it was not intended, is limiting what can be given to truly small businesses.
Sure.
This is fairly typical. The big boys end up with the lion's share of the subsidies. Whenever government is passing out money, it tends to favor the large over the small. And that's clearly true in the case of farming. It's also true with subsidizing businesses like Elon Musk's. I mean, the the states kind of line up to give money to Musk, whether it's for solar panels or Tesla or his other enterprises. He's so good at raising subsidy money from states that they go to him now, offering their states for, providing various incentives for him to do business there. And this is not what you would call a worthy welfare case. Mr. Musk is not short on change these days.
No, he's not a welfare case, that's for sure.
The same is true of the major industrial corporations. The big boys are the ones who lobby, and small businesses like your listeners and my own small business generally don't lobby. We can't afford to lobby, but even if we could, there'd be no point in it. But you can be sure that Boeing and Delta and ExxonMobil and Chevron are in there at the federal trough all of the time. And bigness per se means that lobbying is a natural part of how they do business. And that is a major part of the reason why most of the money goes to the big boys who don't need it and don't deserve it. The state of Louisiana has given tax breaks to any company that will engage in fracking to get oil out of the ground in Louisiana. Well, I have no problem with getting oil out of the ground in Louisiana, but there's no reason why the state should be introducing a 10-year moratorium on a property tax for every building that oil companies put up in that state. They ought to be paying property taxes the same as other businesses.
Sure. So let's explore this. So why is this happening? What is the root cause? Is it just because of lobbying? And what can we do about this?
Well, lobbying certainly has a lot to do with it. It relatedly, it also has to do with connections, with people who know their congressmen. Small business people don't want to mess with the government, frankly. We pay our taxes because we have to. And we wish they'd just leave us alone.
Sure.
Most of the time, we are saddled with regulations and difficulties that just make it harder to do business. And there again, bigness helps because if you have a lot of complicated OSHA regulations, for example, which I'm sure your listeners are familiar with, that say the railing going into your warehouse has to be 14 inches high and not 13 inches high, you got to spend a certain amount of time dealing with that. Well, a big business can afford to hire two or three people who do nothing but operate to conform the company to OSHA standards. A small business, the CEO and other executives have to do that themselves simply because they don't have the staff or the ability to hire the staff to get after such things. But to some extent, this is a built end to the unfairness of life in general.
Sure.
And there's no question that it is unfair, but nothing that we're going to do that I can think of anyway is going to change that general fact. But what we can change and should try to change as much as we can is silly, picayune regulations, requirements, reports. We shouldn't be saddled with a rule that says if an employee works more than 30 hours in any week, if you add up this week and that week, they must be paid full-time wages and a health care benefit, which the government defined. I mean, by the time you conform to all that, the result, of course, in our company in North Carolina, Adam and Eve, we have a 30-hour a week employees who want to work 40 hours a week, but we can't afford to put them all on full-time status. The result is we have to tell them once they've worked 30 hours, they can't work anymore, which annoys the hell out of them and us.
Sure.
That kind of thing, a small business has a lot of trouble dealing with and spends a lot of money dealing with, whereas the larger corporations can hire people to take care of it. Now, on the other side of that coin, I think it's a lot more fun to work in a small business, even if you have to cope with all this nonsense.
Exactly, exactly.
Than it is to work in a bureaucratic organization with several thousand employees. So that is some compensation.
There is, yes, exactly. So what is in your book, Welfare for the Rich, you lay out a compelling case for why this is happening. But is there a prescription? Is there something, our listeners can do other than write their congressman? Is there something they can do to level the playing field in their favor? Is there something that they can, is there a call to action that you would call out now to say, in order to redress the balance and make sure that you're getting a fair shake as a small business person, do these three things. So could you give us a prescription like that?
Well, not quite that neatly, certainly. But one thing I think that any small business can do is to get involved in the community. If you're involved in the community where your employees work and live, you have the beginnings of some political leverage. Every community has churches and synagogues. Every community has community activities of various kinds. And if a small business is involved with those, and in many cases supports those, you can have the beginnings of, well, let's call Congressman so-and-so now that there are 8 or 10 of us in the same boat, or sign a letter to Congressman so-and-so about what Congress is doing to screw the little guy and at the same time helping the big ones.
Yeah.
That could help.
A good
beginning.
Yeah,
there are
that
also,
is.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that is a good beginning. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. Phil, please don't go away. We'd love to continue this conversation in the last segment. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more of The Entrepreneur Effect when we return.
Ready to do a podcast for your business? Make that podcast elevate to enterprise level. Let WebmasterRadio.fm expedite and execute your podcast to build your brand and broaden your customer base. WebmasterRadio.fm has worked with the world's biggest tech brands, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and have worked with fast-growing brands like ShipStation and GoDaddy. Now it's your turn. Contact BRASCO at WMR.fm and rush your enterprise-level podcast into production at a very reasonable rate. Email BRASCO at WMR.fm.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
You are experiencing The Entrepreneur Effect, only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here's Dush Ramachandran.
And welcome back. This is Dirsh Ramachandran with Entrepreneur Effect. My guest today is Phil Harvey, who is the author of the new book, Welfare for the Rich, which drops August the 5th. And he's also the founder and principal of DKT Liberty Project. So, Phil, before the break, we were talking about what, you know, small business people can do to kind of advocate for themselves. And you made a really good point that if you're able to, you know, get into a community organization, a chamber of commerce, a church, a synagogue, or some group of, you know, people that are facing a similar problem, then together you can write your congressman, or together you can, you know, form some sort of collective action group and, you know, petition those in charge. Any other ideas?
There are a number of organizations that work on these issues, and we've listed a dozen of them in the back of the book, organizations that add greatly to the transparency. Some of them follow farm payments that are particularly egregious. Others follow subsidies to energy companies. We subsidize coal, for heaven's sakes, in addition to solar and oil. I mean, we generously subsidize all of the energy sources that are adding the most carbon to the atmosphere, which seems particularly inappropriate. And there are organizations that at least track these, call attention to them. One of them is called POGO, which is Project, I've forgotten what it stands for, but they're a watchdog organization that watches very closely what the government spends in big ways and whether they're being wasteful and unfair in the ways we've been describing here or not. So that is something else that anyone can do. Those organizations are happy to have supporters, participants, people who can join in soliciting Congress either at the state level or at the federal level. And those things are, I think, also very useful steps. I would not suggest that a small business get into the lobbying business. And that's because it's a game you don't want to be in if you don't have to be. And some of the big boys have to be. I mean, Microsoft is an interesting example. They didn't really want to be fooling around with congressional lobbying back in the 80s or 90s, whenever it was. Then their competitors made a big squawk to the Congress that Microsoft was doing something unfair. The government got after them, and they were forced into the lobbying business just in order to defend themselves and continue to be in business. Now, of course, Microsoft has one of the biggest lobbying programs in D.C. That, fortunately, the whole lobbying game is confined to just a few hundred companies and the chamber. Sometimes I mean, the Chamber of Commerce is always in there lobbying, and that's another suggestion I should have made before. They can be influenced by small business persons, and they have quite a lot of clout because they're very well connected and are very active lobbyists. So that's another avenue small business people work on, but getting involved in lobbying directly is a crazy game, in my view, because you end up running your business for rents, for getting favors from the government, instead of providing services and products for customers and people, which is not only better for the economy, better for the world, but it's a lot more fun and a lot more satisfying. So
exactly.
There is, I think, really never going to be a clear-cut way of leveling this field. Bigness is always going to result in a certain amount of clout, connection, It's sad that the lobbying effort is so focused on maintaining favors from the government rather than reducing the number of regulations and the number of burdens and the number of rules that we all have to follow, which would be much more productive and much more fair, because companies of all sizes benefit from a relief from regulations and red tape and requirements and so on. I mean, we've got regulations, just some of them are just absurd. There's a regulation, federal regulation, dictating the size of olives. Well, if you happen to be in the olive growing business, that's a major problem. Dictating the size of what is a healthy portion of food. Well, we really don't need the feds to be telling us stuff like that.
Sure.
Getting rid of some of those regs would be a fair way of benefiting all companies and employers. Seems like a logical thing to work for.
Absolutely. That sounds really, really great. The book Welfare for the Rich drops August 5th. And Phil, I imagine it'll be available wherever books are sold. Is it available for pre-order right now?
It's available for pre-order on Amazon and will certainly be available there and BNN also. And we'll see about as we get into those that are still remaining.
Wonderful. Well, the book is Welfare for the Rich. The man is Phil Harvey, and he's also the founder and principal of DKT Liberty Project. Phil, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. This has been really illuminating, and I appreciate your talking to us today.
It's been my pleasure. I've enjoyed having a chat with you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.